Tonight's shir is on this week's parsha, Parshas Toldos, and the title of the shir tonight is Yitzchak and Not Leaving Israel, Eretz Yisrael. So tonight we're going to take up the aspect of the parsha where Yitzchak attempts to leave Eretz Yisrael because of famine, and Hashem instructs Yitzchak that he shouldn't leave, and he should stay in Eretz Yisrael. So we're going to try to understand why that's the case. So if we look in the first source, it's Bereishis Perek Chavav. And the story begins with Vayhi Ra'av Ba'aretz Milvad Hara'av Harishon Asher Yah B'mei Avraham Vayilach Yitzchak El Avimelech Melech Plishtim Gerara. So the Torah tells us that there was a famine in Eretz Yisrael that was aside from the famine that occurred in the times of Avraham. And Yitzchak, he went to Avimelech, the king of the Plishtim in Gerar. Vayira Ilov Ad Hashem Vayomer Al Teirid Mitzrayim Shechon Ba'aretz Asher Omar Ilecha. So Hashem instructs Yitzchak that he should not leave Eretz Yisrael, and he should not go down to Mitzrayim. He should stay in Israel, in Eretz Yisrael. And he says, Gur ba'aretz hazos ve'yeimcha v'avarchaka ki l'chol zaracha atenes kol aretzos ha'el v'akimosiyos ha'shvua asher nishbati l'avraham avicha. And he says to Yitzchak, Hashem says to Yitzchak, live in this land, and I will be with you, I will bless you and your offspring, and to your offspring I will give all these lands, and I will keep the covenant and that I made, that I swore to your father. But what happened is that you'll have a lot of offspring. There'll be as many, as numerous as the stars in the heavens. And they'll be given these lands, and all the other nations will bless themselves through you. Because, or in as much as Avram listened to God's voice, and he kept the mitzvos and the commandments of Hashem. Vayeshev Yitzchak b'Gerar. So Yitzchak listens to Hashem, and he lives in Gerar, in Melech Plishtim Gerar, which was in Eretz Yisrael. So the story tells us that there was a famine in the land of Eretz Yisrael, similar to the famine that occurred in the time of Avraham. And Yitzchak, he wants to go down to Mitzrayim, but Hashem says, no, you're not allowed to go. You can't go down to Mitzrayim. So the question that we have, that we're going to deal with tonight is, why not? Why was Yitzchak, according to Hashem, or based on Hashem's commandment over here, why was Yitzchak prevented from leaving Eretz Yisrael? So that's the question. What was it about Yitzchak that he couldn't leave? So if you look in source number two, the Rashbam gives the pshat of the pasuk, and then we'll look at the medrash. So the pshat is, Milvad Rav Harishon Asher Hayah B'mei Avraham. So why does the pasuk mention that the famine was somewhat similar, or was the first famine since the famine in the times of Avraham? Because in the past, before this, there was a similar famine and Avraham went to Mitzrayim. So the purpose of the pasuk is to teach us that Yitzchak was trying to emulate his father, and just as his father had left Eretz Yisrael and went down to Mitzrayim in famine, so too Yitzchak was on his way out, and he was going through the land of Plishtim. So his original intent was not to live with Avimelech in the land, in the Plishtim land, but he was going to go down to Mitzrayim. Derech Kitzara, Plishtim, is really the fastest way if you go through Eretz Plishtim to get to Mitzrayim. Kidich Siv, V'lonacham Elokim, Derech Eretz Plishtim, Kikarovu. By Bishalach, it says that the Jews had to take a roundabout way, but the fastest way is through Eretz Plishtim to get to Eretz Yisrael from Mitzrayim. Ulechach amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, al teirid Mitzrayim, al fish yodei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shehayi yored Mitzrayim. So that's why Hashem tells him that he shouldn't go to Mitzrayim, because Hashem knew that Yitzchak's intent was to follow the same path that his father had taken and go down to Mitzrayim through Plishtim, through Eretz Plishtim. Okay, so the pshat is that Yitzchak was trying to follow his father and copy and imitate his father. And even though the pasuk doesn't say he was going out to Mitzrayim, the reason why it says he's going to Plishtim is because that's the way, or the derech, the way to get to Mitzrayim. That's the fastest way. But still, the same question. I mean, Avraham was allowed to go to Mitzrayim, so why wasn't Yitzchak allowed to go to Mitzrayim? What was wrong with Yitzchak's idea of following in the path of his father, Avraham, and going outside of Eretz Yisrael into Mitzrayim? So now we come to the famous Medrash in Rashi, and we'll try to explain what it means. So Rashi says, Al Tered Mitzrayma, Shahaya Daito Laredes Mitzrayma, Kimoshi Yard Aviv Meharav. So same as the Rashbam in the Pshat. Amar Lo, Al Tered Mitzrayma. So Hashem says, do not go to Mitzrayim. Sha'ata Ola Tamima, Ve'in Chutzala Aret Kedai Lecha. So Hashem says that you can't go to Mitzrayim. Why wasn't he allowed to? Because Yitzchak was an Ola Tamima. He was a pure sacrifice. An Ola is the sacrifice that's completely burnt on the Mizbeach. And Tamima means without a blemish. So he was a pure sacrifice. And Chutz La'aretz wasn't good for him, wouldn't be appropriate for him, because Yitzchak was an Ola Tamima. So the question on the Rashi, to try to explain Rashi, is, what do you mean he was an Ola Tamima? I mean, Yitzchak was obviously not a sacrifice, he's a person. But even if you want to say that, you know, what happened by the Akedah, he was a sacrifice there. But ultimately, Avram didn't sacrifice Yitzchak. He ended up sacrificing an animal, an isle, instead of Yitzchak. So what is the concept of Ola Tamima as it refers to Yitzchak? And also, why does Ola Tamima prevent Yitzchak from leaving? This, whatever the concept of Ola Tamima is, why does it prevent Yitzchak from leaving, to going to Chutz La'aretz? What's the problem with Chutz La'aretz vis-a-vis Yitzchak? So those are the questions. So what is this idea of Ola Tamima, that Yitzchak was this pure sacrifice? So one of the Mefarshim on Rashi, Rav Eliyahu Mizrahi, in source number 4, he explains Rashi a little more. It still doesn't give us an answer, but he says, Al Teir Mitzrayim Sha'ata Ola Tamima, that really, same answer, that Yitzchak was a pure sacrifice. Shehi Kodesh Kachim. So an Ola is a Kodesh Kachim. It's the highest level of holiness, of sanctity. V'chol Aretz Chashuva Etzel Kimo Azara. And all of Eretz Yisrael, vis-a-vis Kodesh Kachim, or Yitzchak, was considered like the Mikdash, like the Azara. V'chutz L'Aretz Chashuva Etzel Kichutz Min Azara. And Chutz L'Aretz, relative to Yitzchak, was similar to taking a korban outside the Azara, which is Asar. V'ein Kodesh Kachim Yotze Chutz Min Azara. You're not allowed to take kachet kachim. You can't take this type of korban outside of the azara, outside the mikdash. Vim yata nifsal v'nasar la'olam afal pi shechazar lemkoma. The Rambam has this. The imkain ma'ishna me'aviv. So by a korban, you're not allowed to take certain korbanos outside of azara. Some you can't take out of the Yerushalayim. But basically, Yitzchak, they're comparing Yitzchak to the korban, and they're saying just like kachet kachim, an Ola can't be brought outside of the Azara, so too Yitzchak cannot be brought outside of Eretz Yisrael. The Eretz Yisrael was kind of like an Azara. So the question is, what is the relationship, again, between Yitzchak and this concept of Ola Tamima, and what was the problem with him leaving? So let's just look at the Rambam in source number 5, because the Rambam brings this down the halacha, but it's still the same question as before. He says, in Maisa Korbanos, Parakit Alf Lachavav, Bisar Kachet Kachim, Shiyatza Chutz Lachomas Azara. So if the meat of Kachet Kachim goes outside of the Azara, Uvisar Kachim Kalim, Shiyatza Chutz Lachomas Yerushalayim, or Kachim Kalim, which are different Korbanos, if they go outside the Chom of Yerushalayim, Nifsal, Vinesar Laolam, they become Pasal, they become defective, and they're Asur, they're prohibited forever. The afal pisha chazar lemakomo aser laochlo. Even if you bring it back into the azara after you leave, you can't eat it. Va'ochel mimenu kizayis loka. If you eat even a kizayis of a korban that was brought outside the azara or outside Yerushalayim that wasn't allowed to be brought outside, so then you get malchus. Shenamar uvasar b'sadet treifalo sochelu. Kevan shiyatza basar chutz lemechitzaso nasa ketreifa kimoshe bi'arne behilchas malchus asuros. Once the basar leaves the area that it's allowed to be in, it becomes like a treif animal, and you can't. It's treif forever, and even if you bring it back to the right spot, if you bring it back into Yerushalayim or bring it back into the Azara, it's no good anymore. So, but Yitzchak's not a korban, and he's not being eaten. So, what exactly is the problem here? Meaning, Yitzchak's an Ola Tamima, and it's very nice that they're comparing Yitzchak to the idea of korban. That just like by korban, you can't take the basar korban outside of a certain area, and if you do, it becomes pasul and you can't eat it. But what's that relationship? What's that idea as it relates to a person, to Yitzchak? How do we apply this concept to Yitzchak, who is an individual and is not basar kachim, really? So that's the question. So it's the same basic question. What is Ola Tamima? What's the designation of Ola Tamima by Yitzchak? And how does it manifests itself in the idea that he's not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael, and he has to stay in Eretz Yisrael. He can't go to Mitzrayim. Okay, so that's the question. So now to add more fuel to the fire here, so just one other point, and then we'll try to get into what the idea is. But if you look earlier on in the Parsha, it says in Berachav Hei Pasuk Chav Vav, V'achreichin yatza achiv yado ochezes v'akev Esav v'yikra shemo Yaakov Yitzchak ben shishim shana b'ledes osam. So in the birth of Esav and Yaakov, the pasuk says that Yitzchak was 60 years old when they were born. And Rashi here in source number 7 brings down a similar idea of Ola Tmima, that Yitzchak was this pure korban. It says, Eser shanim mishenasa ad shenasis bashlosh esrei shana v'ruuya leheirayon. So Yitzchak got married at 40. And apparently, according to the Medrash, Rivka was only 3 years old. So he had to wait 10 years old before she could get, be old enough to become pregnant. The Eser shanim halalu tzipa v'himtin la kemosha asa aviv l'sara. So, and then he waited 10 more years before she can get to see if she could get pregnant naturally, and nothing happened. Kevan shalonis abra yada shi akara vispalalea. And then once he saw that, after 10 years, or it was really 20 years of marriage, but after 10 years following, you know, her, she was, after she turned 13, so she was 23, he realized that she couldn't have children, and he davened. Vishivcha lo ratza lisa. But he didn't want to marry a maidservant like Avram married Hagar. He didn't want to do that. Why? Lefishin eskadesh bahar hamoria lios ola tmima. Because of the fact that Yitzchak was sanctified, designated on Har HaMoriah to be an Ola Tamima. Okay, so now we see another example and another idea that Rashi brings down about Yitzchak being compared to a korban, to an Ola Tamima. And before he was saying that Yitzchak was not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael because Chutz La'aretz is not appropriate for an Ola Tamima for this type of korban. And now he's saying, in addition, that Yitzchak wouldn't marry a Shivcha. He refused to marry a Shivcha, unlike Avram, who did marry a Shivcha. Yitzchak refused to marry a Shivcha to have children with because he was Niskadesh b'Har HaMoriah lios Ola Tmima, because he was sanctified in Har HaMoriah by the Akedas Yitzchak to be an Ola Tmima. So we see two examples, or two manifestations of Yitzchak as an Ola Tmima. So the question is, what is that concept? How do we define? Can we define the concept of Yitzchak being a pure sacrifice, and why it manifests itself in the idea that he can't leave Eretz Yisrael and he can't marry, or he doesn't want to marry Shivcha? So what is that idea? What's the concept? So there's one other point here to start answering the question, but I saw another Rashi that I think relates to the idea of Ola Tmima. And there's different possibilities as to how to understand Ola Tmima. So we're going to look at Rashi, maybe try an approach according to the Rambam, although the Rambam doesn't say it outright, but I think the Rambam hints to this idea, and Rabbeinu Bachya. So the first idea is Rashi. So Rashi says in source number 8, which is also in our Parsha, it says, Vayhi ki zaken Yitzchak vatechena einov mir'os vayikra es esav b'no agadol vayomer elav b'ni vayomer elav hineni. So as Yitzchak got older, his eyes got dim, and he couldn't see well, and he calls Esav his son, and Esav says, I'm here. Vayomer hineinah zakanti lo yadati yom mosi. And Yitzchak says that I'm getting older, I don't know when I'm going to die. So he's prefacing the idea of the brachos, that he's going to give the brachos away. So Rashi says, Vatechena, what does it mean that his eyes dimmed? Be'ashan shel elu. The first answer is that the wives of Esav, which I gave Shiran in the past, the wives of Esav were involved in Avodah Zarah, and because there was a lot of smoke in their when they were doing Ketores, it affected his eyes. Davar acher, kishenekad agabe amizbech, v'haya aviv rotza l'shachto, be'osa shah niftichu ha-shamayim, v'ra'u malach yasharis, v'yubochem b'yardu dimosim, menaflu al inov. The second possibility is that when Yitzchak was at the Akedah, when he was on the Mizbeach to be slaughtered, the malachim were crying, and their demos, their tears fell onto his eyes, and they blinded him in the future. Lefichach ko'enav, his eyes were weakened by this process. Davar acher, kedei sheyitol Yaakov es habrachos. And the last possibility is that it was hashgacha from Hashem that Yaakov should have an ability to trick Yitzchak somewhat and take the brachos, because Yitzchak couldn't see well. So there's three different possibilities as to why his eyes became dim. So the second possibility, I think, is relevant to our idea of Ola Tmima, although Rashi doesn't say Ola Tmima, but I think that with this idea, we can gain some insight into why Yitzchak was an Ola Tmima and what it means to be an Ola Tmima. So what's the idea? What's the concept, perhaps? So perhaps Rashi is alluding to an idea that at the time of the Akedah, and also one last question, what's the relationship between the Akedah and the dimming of his eyes? What does it mean that the angels cried and his eyes were dimmed? So I think we can answer that and try to answer Ula Tamimo. So I think the idea that Rashi is alluding to is that there was a philosophical insight that Yitzchak gained in the Akeda process. And that's why it's the Malachim, it's dealing with Malachim crying on his eyes. It means that Yitzchak was privy to certain knowledge and the Akeda that a normal person isn't privy to, but he had some philosophical insight that was eye-opening. But on the other hand, it says that his eyes were dimmed. So what's the idea of eyes being dimmed, and how does that relate to Ula Tamimo? So whatever that information was, whatever that knowledge was, it seems like it was important that that Yitzchak not be distracted, that he not be influenced by his environment negatively because of the fact that this information was sensitive information, was sensitive philosophical information, and an environment, a negative environment, that which you perceive with your senses outside of yourself could be potentially be harmful and could create a distortion in that concept, whatever that concept is that he grasped at the Akedah, which affected him so deeply. It had to remain with him, and it couldn't be distracted or distorted by the outside world, by the environment around him. So the idea of his eyes being dimmed is that concept. The eyes being dimmed is that the concept that he gained at the Akedah, and I'm not getting into the details because it's hard for us to understand it, but whatever the concept is that he gained at the Akedah, this deep philosophical idea, it was part of the idea was that he shouldn't be influenced negatively. He should be very careful and sensitive to how the outside world and what he perceives in the environment around him affects the nature of his concept and affects how this philosophical insight has been intrinsically connected into him, internalized within him. So what is the idea of Ula Tamimo now? So I think Ula Tamimo is tied to this idea. See, by Ula Tamimo, it seems like not leaving Eretz Yisrael or not marrying a Shifcha is an idea of avoiding environments that could have a distortion or a negative effect on you. Because outside of Eretz Yisrael, you don't have the same hashgacha. You don't have the same relationship to the land when you're outside of Eretz Yisrael. And that's one of the reasons why the Rambam says and the Gemara says you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. It's as if you're an Ovid of Odazara if you leave Eretz Yisrael and you go to Chutz La'aretz. Because when you're in Chutz La'aretz, you're more subject to outside influences, influences of Odazara, and the environment is not conducive for a person to retain your idea, your religious identity. And that's why there's such a concern with assimilation. So similarly, an Ula Tamimo is an idea that whatever the philosophical insight that Yitzchak had gained at the Akedah had to be safeguarded. And Yitzchak understood this concept. He understood that somewhat, because Hashem has to tell him by Mitzrayim, but he also understood by the Shifcha that marrying an outsider like Hagar, who had a different philosophical viewpoint and perspective, would be negative for him, would actually hinder his perfection, hinder his development, which was really a byproduct of his involvement in the Akedah. So I think what Rashi's saying through these midrashim and through the idea of his eyes being dimmed is that again, Yitzchak had gained this philosophical insight about Hashem, about metaphysics, and whatever that philosophical insight was, part of the idea of it and part of it retaining its internalization within him was him avoiding external environments that would negatively affect him, that could potentially harm his idea of God and his idea of in this realm. So that's what an Ula Tamimo is. An Ula Tamimo is that he was Niskadesh Bahar Moriah, that the idea that he gained at Har Moriah, this essential concept that he gained, was so impactful and important and intrinsic that he had to safeguard it. And he had to make sure that he wouldn't be influenced negatively by any outside environment, by any outsider or any outside perspective could potentially be harmful for him and be negative for him in terms of retaining and internalizing the idea that he gained as the Ne'akad, as being on the Mizbeach. So I think that's the first possibility. So the first possibility is Rashi, that Ula Tamimo is tied to a perfection within Yitzchak that he gained at the Akedah, and all the ideas of Ula Tamimo are meant to teach us that he had to safeguard this idea, and he had to ensure that he wouldn't be negatively influenced by an environment that might not be helpful for him, that might be damaging for him. So he has to stay in Eretz Yisrael, and he can't marry a Shifcha. Okay, so that's one possibility. There's another possibility. If anybody has any questions, just stop me at any point in this year. Just cut me off. It's no problem. The other possibility is the Rambam in source number 10. It's kind of a different point. So the Rambam...
Yeah, I had one question.
Go ahead.
Sorry. But in the people there were like not even said they were Kanaanim, so the environment there because of the people was.
Yeah, but he still had his father, meaning he still had his father, relationship of his father to the land, and he had the hashgacha, so he still had a certain environment. Even if the people around him were corrupt, but there was still the idea that he related to the land through his father, through what happened to his father, and the idea of Hashgacha was a situation that was conducive for him to continue in this perfection that was gained from the Akedah. But once you leave, so then, like I said, you're not as connected and you don't have the same, you have a more corrupt environment, an environment that's potentially harmful. But it's a good question. Good question. So
sometimes I think because of the people are really, really corrupt, it might be a better environment because you completely don't relate to them as opposed to people are, like, closer to your level.
You mean it could be better for you if you leave, if you go into a more corrupt environment? I mean, it could be. It could be, you're right, and maybe I'm, like, not getting to the essence of what the idea that he gained was, but whatever that idea was, whatever that philosophical insight was, apparently it would be worse for him. I don't know what that idea is because, I mean, I think you have to be on the level of Yitzchak to understand. But whatever that idea was, it seems like it was clear, at least Hashem and had to tell him that it would be bad for him. It would be harmful for him. Maybe certain ideas are strengthened in certain environments and other ideas are harmed in certain environments. So it's possible. So another possibility, just it's a good point. So another possibility is the Rambam. He never says this idea outright about Yitzchak. He's talking about the Nisayon of the Akedah to Avraham. But he mentions the Rambam has a unique perspective of what the purpose of the trials of Avraham were. And he says two reasons. One is that it's in order to, for the world to see the level of Yiras Hashem, or what Yiras and Avas Hashem demands. And Avraham was demonstrating that by being willing to kill his son. And the other is an idea of Nevuah, that Avraham, it's to show that Nevuah is real, because nobody, if they question whether Nevuah was real, nobody would ever try to kill their son. But the fact that Avraham was willing to kill his beloved son, shows you or demonstrates the veracity of Nevuah. But if we do it inside, he says in source number 10, he says, in the more Nevuchim chelek gimel perchav dalet, he says, avali yirasu Hashem yisparach l'avaso l'kai mitzvaso bo levlada ohuv hahu, in order to demonstrate his yira and his ava for Hashem and to take his beloved son, v'niach kol mashakava bo v'hiskim lishchoroso. He gave up all of his hopes and dreams, and he was willing to slaughter Yitzchak achar mahalech gimel yamim after 3 days. Ki ilu haya rotze lasoso l'shaito bevo mitzvah ilav haya peulas behilti bevilti histachlos. The idea of 3 days by Avraham that he waited is to demonstrate that he wasn't just acting emotionally very quickly. He was acting out of thought. He contemplated whether this was the right decision. Ve'omnam asoso ze achar yamim me'es ba mitzvah ilav. He waited a couple days. He really contemplated his love of Hashem and his fear, and it was really that was what motivated him, and it wasn't anything else. He didn't need any other motivation. He just needed Ava and Yira. Ki Avram Avinu lo maher lishchot Yitzchak lefachto me'Hashem shihargehu o yiroshishehu. He wasn't scared that he was going to get killed if he didn't kill Yitzchak. And he wasn't, he didn't do it out of a fear of being killed, of punishment. Aval kadeshi yisparz neim levnei adam, ma ro'i lasoso bishvil avas Hashem yisbarach v'yiraso. But it was meant to demonstrate to mankind the level and degree that man is should go for his avas Hashem, v'yiraso. V'lo letikvas gemur v'lo lefachid onesh. And it's not for the hope of getting a good reward, and not for onesh, for being scared of being punished. The Malach says, "Now I know." So through this act, Avram was demonstrating to the world what true yira is. That true yira is a person acting in line with understanding his relationship to God and being in awe and love of God, and that's what it demands. It demands such a high level that a person would be willing to sacrifice his beloved son for this goal. So what do we see from the Rambam, though? The Rambam is teaching us that that really the Aikido was not was meant for others. It was to teach an idea to others, the level that man is supposed to achieve in terms of his Ava and Yira. So, but he doesn't mention Yitzchak in the Mora. But if that's the case, maybe we can gain some insight into how the Rambam would perceive the concept of Ola Tmima. Maybe he's saying that Yitzchak's identity was tied to the Aikido, and part of the Aikido was meant to teach mankind at that time and for all generations afterwards about the nature of Yiras Hashem and how far man is supposed to go. And Yitzchak was a participant because he also was demonstrating a certain Ava and Yira that in his willingness to be sacrificed by Avram. It's famous that Yitzchak was not a child when this happened. He was an adult and he went along lovingly with Avram knowing that he was going to be sacrificed for God. So the idea of Yitzchak was that he was a participant in this demonstration to the world of the level and degree man is supposed to go to out of his love and fear of Hashem. So maybe the idea of Ola Tmima is that Yitzchak had to be cognizant, aware of how his image and his role in the Akedah really affected others and was meant to teach others this concept. And he couldn't divorce himself from the experience of the Akedah, because it was essential that the people in the world at that time and all of his followers see him as the Nekod, see and recognize him as the Nekod, because only then would he accurately and effectively teach this concept. But once he would leave Eretz Yisrael, and once he would divorce himself from his role in the Akedah, even in the slightest sense, if people viewed him as separating himself from his role in the Akedah, it would affect the message that was meant to be taught to the world about the nature of man's Yira. So Yitzchak had to be cognizant. That's what Ola Tmima means. It means, according to the Rambam, I think, that Yitzchak always had to be cognizant of his relationship to the Akedah and his role in the Akedah vis-a-vis the world and vis-a-vis humanity. And he couldn't break it. He couldn't break his relationship to the Akedah. He couldn't do anything that would take away from how people perceived him as the Nekod, as the one who was sacrificed or almost sacrificed on Har Moriah. So the other possibility of Ola Tmima is that concept, that an Ola Tmima by Yitzchak was an awareness of his role in the Akedah and the fact that he couldn't break his identity. He couldn't take his identity away from his role in the Akedah because it was essential in terms of teaching this crucial concept to the world, that man is supposed to go, you know, beyond in terms of Yira and Ava. And Yitzchak was a participant, and he was an active participant in this process. So now I think that's a different idea than Rashi. Rashi's saying that Ola Tmima was an essential perfection within Yitzchak, and he had to be aware of the dangers of external environments and external, let's say, shifcha, external people, in terms of corrupting that concept. But the Rambam is saying something different. He's saying that Ola Tmima is that Yitzchak had to be aware or he had to identify himself with his role as a Nekod. And because of the fact that it was for the world, and the world had to see him as such, in order to teach this crucial idea about Ava and Yiras Hashem. And he couldn't do any action, he couldn't do any mice, any action that would demonstrate a divorce or separation from his role in the Akedah. He always had to have this image as being the Nekod. So that's the idea of Ola Tmima, that people had to view him with this perspective, that he was the Nekod. They always had to relate to him as the Nekod. And he couldn't do anything that would take away from that relationship, the way people viewed him. So that's the second idea. And the last idea is Rabbeinu Bachya. He says something else. One last idea. And then we'll get to the Ramban. So Rabbeinu Bachya says, Vayigdal yeled vayigamal, vayas Avram mishte gadol biyom higamelos Yitzchak. So in Bereishis, it says that Avraham made a big party when Yitzchak was weaned and he stopped nursing. So Rabbeinu Bachya says, on this pasuk, why did he make a big party? Minaga olam shiase adam suuda biyom shenola lo bein o biyom hamila lechavod hamitzvah. Usually, a person makes a party when a child is born, or when there's a mila for the mitzvah. Umasha achar Avraham lasos mishte Yitzchak ad yom higameloso. So why did Avraham wait till the day he was weaned? Yitachin lefarish shemiyom gamlo hinichu l'tametora. That immediately when he was weaned and he stopped nursing, he was ready for learning. The Einlit Mua, and he says, don't be stunned by this. Sharei ben shlosh shanim hikir Avram es boro. Avram discovered God when he was 3 years old. Al kein lo ratza lasus asuda lo biyom aleda velo biyom amila. He didn't want to do the su'uda when he was born or at the mila. V'hiniach adavar ad yom higamelo so, kadesh yismach bevino besimchas haTorah. he made the party when he was three, when Yitzchak was three, because he wanted, this is the day that Yitzchak would start learning Torah, and he wanted the happiness to be attached to learning Torah. Shekasev ba, pekudei Hashem yishar mesamchei lev, the Torah makes person happy. Uchinyan shekasev, as mi yore deyav, as mi yavin shmua gmule mecholav, ki techef shenigmal niskadesh lios parash v'nivdal avodas Hashem. As soon as he was weaned, he was separated for the service of God, umezuman lios ola tmima, and he was designated for ola tmima, to be an ola tmima. So Rabbi Nebachi has a different idea of ola tmima. So he wants to say that Yitzchak's identity as an ola tmima was tied to his singular purpose that he was brought up with. That Avraham, who wasn't raised like this, Avraham was raised by Terach, he had to discover Hashem on his own. But Yitzchak was given a purpose, a designation from his youth, even from the day that he was weaned. He started off learning Torah, and this was his purpose and his sole purpose. So the idea of ola tmima is the concept that Yitzchak had a singular purpose to be mezuman lavodas Hashem, and the idea seems to be that he had to be aware of this singular purpose, and he couldn't do any actions that would take away from this designation, from this singular drive that he had, this singular purpose that was ingrained in him from his youth, from when he was weaned. So I think that's a different idea of Rabbeinu Bachya. So he says that the idea of ola tmima of Yitzchak was tied to the fact that Yitzchak was raised in a way where he was given a singular purpose, a singular drive, and as such, that's what he ties to the idea of that he was weaned. When he was weaned, there was a party, because he's trying to show us that as soon as he was able to learn Torah, Avraham set him on the right path. He set him on this path of Avodas Hashem. And this was his only goal, his only singular purpose. Whereas Avraham didn't have this; he had to discover it on his own. So now the question is: how does it relate to the Shifra, and how does it relate to the idea of not leaving Eretz Yisrael? So I guess the idea is that anything that would not contribute to this function, this purpose, this singular goal of Yitzchak was not allowed. He had to have a goal in mind to have children through Rivka, to teach Torah and to connect himself to the land of Eretz Yisrael, and any action that was outside of this purpose, this designated purpose by Avraham, was really an idea, was really harmful, was really negative because of the fact that he was designated for this goal, and he accepted it. So that's the third idea. So three ideas in Ola Tamima. So one last concept. In the Ramban has a totally different idea. It's a little bit off. Off track here, but he mentions the Ola Tamima here. And look in source number 13, and it says, Vitam Amaniya, skip down to Vitam. It's about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines down. Vitam Amaniya, Amru Rabbasinu, why was Yitzchak not allowed to go to Mitzrayim? Amru Rabbasinu, Ata Ola Tamima, Vein Chutzul Aretz Kedai Lecha. So same as he's bringing down the Medrash that Rashi brings down, that Yitzchak was an Ola Tamima, and he wasn't allowed to leave because Chutzul Aretz wasn't appropriate for him. So he says that there's a reference to the future in this, in what's going on here with Yitzchak. Ki galus Avraham el Mitzrayim ipnei ra'av remez sheyiglu banav sham. So when Avraham went down to Mitzrayim because of the famine, that was a hint to the future where the Jews would go to Mitzrayim and be in galus Mitzrayim. V'lechdo el Avimelech lo haya galus ki sham haya yoshev b'ritzono. When Avram left and he went to live with Avimelech, that wasn't Galus. He went there willingly. Aval Yeridaso shel Yitzchak sham mipnei harav yirmos legalus. But when Yitzchak went to Avimelech, that was another reference to Galus. Ki gala mimekomo baal korcho. He had to go because of the famine. V'halach el eretz acheres. He went to another land. V'hine haya galuso mimekomo eretz plishtim. He went to eretz plishtim. Shehi eretz migure aviv. This is the land of our forefathers, Viermos Legalus Bavel, Shumako Miguri Avosam, Shayub or Kazdim. And this is a reference to the second Gullus of the Jews in the future. So the first Gullus was Avram, was referenced in Avram. When Avram went to Mitzrayim, it was foreshadowing the future when the Jews were in Gullus Mitzrayim. And when Yitzchak was forced to go to Avimelech, it's a foreshadowing the future when the Jews were Nigla, were exiled to Bavel, because Bavel was the land of our forefathers, the Or Kazdim. And he says, "Vidok yagolus hanizkar yirmos lemaisa Yitzchak kasher lo lachu ishto." And then he goes into details. He says that the gullus of Bavel was very similar to this Yitzchak experience, because when he went to Avimelech, his wife wasn't taken. There was only fear and exile. In the beginning, Avimelech warned against anybody who would take Yitzchak's wife, Rivka. Then Avimelech said, get out of here, leave. And then Avimelech comes back to him with a covenant. So Bavel was the same thing. The Jews were in famine, and they went to Bavel, they were exiled. They weren't enslaved in Bavel immediately. But they were treated respectfully. They were even in the officers. So then they kicked the Jews out, and they didn't allow them to rebuild the Mikdash. But then they came back with a covenant, a bris, and they said, no, build the base of Mikdash again by Ezra. And they said, oh, bring sacrifices and daven for us. So it's the same experience that Yitzchak went through by Avimelech, where at first they treated him respectfully, then they kicked him out, and then they made a covenant. So too by Bavel, they treated the people respectfully, then they wanted them out, and then eventually they said, oh, build the base of Mikdash again. So what is this connection between the Avos, what happened to Avram and Yitzchak, and what happened to the Jews in the future? So that's the question, the Ramban. So there's one other Ramban in source number 14 by Avram. When he goes down to Mitzrayim, he says, we don't have to read the whole Ramban, but he says, "Va'inyan azeh." I'll just cut down to maybe like four or five lines down. "Va'inyan azeh pirshu b'vrisus rabba." Rabbi Pinchas b'shem Rabbi Yoshi Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Avram save v'kavosh as a derech lifnei banecha. So God said to Avram, conquer the land, the path before your offspring. Everything that happens to Avram happens in the future to the children, to the Jews. So it's a similar idea, the Ramban saying, that really whatever happens to the Avos foreshadows in the future the gullus of the Jews. And the last point in the Ramban is fascinating. He says, Vida. Ki Avram Avinu chata chet gadol b'shgaga shehevi ishto hatzadekes b'michshol avon b'pnei pachto pen yargu. So the Ramban criticizes Avram, and he says that Avram had a great sin when he was scared that his wife would be taken when he went down to Mitzrayim. V'haya lo liftoach b'shem sheyatzil oso ves ishto ves kol asher lo. He should have entrusted him his faith in Hashem. Ki yesh b'lokim koach lazor lo hatzil, Hashem could save. And even him leaving the land which he was commanded to in the beginning was really an avon, was a sin. God can redeem man from death, even in famine. Because of Avram's action, the Jews were decreed upon Golas in Mitzrayim, Biyad Para. So the Ramban even goes so far as not even to say that it's a foreshadowing, but that Avram caused the Gullus Mitzrayim. So what is this idea that Avram caused the Gullus Mitzrayim? What is that concept? So one last point here. So the last point is, I think the Ramban is alluding to the concept that the Avos had a far greater impact on the psychological nature and sociological nature of the Jews, to the point where the way that the Avos acted towards their fellow kings and their fellow people had an effect on the way the Jews in the future would relate to different kingdoms and different people. So I think the idea of it's simon labanim, right? The idea of what happens to the Avos occurs to the banim is the concept that by the Avos, their actions and their movement and their actions really determine the way that the Jews in the future relate to the similar types of situations. For example, by Avram, what does it mean that his chait caused the Jews to be in Galus? I think what it's saying is that Avram was demonstrating the buds, the initial seed of slave mentality. And I think what it's saying is that Avram, yes, on the one hand, Avram could have said, oh, I can't rely on Lashkacha here, I can't rely on Nace. But on the other hand, the idea is that Avram was demonstrating a certain slave mentality when he went down to Mitzrayim. It was almost too much that he was too scared of the Mitzrayim. He didn't have enough idea, enough faith in Hashem. So the idea is that Avram was foreshadowing a slave mentality, but that intrinsic character of Avram and Yitzchak, those characteristics remain in the sociology and the psyche of the nation as a whole. So I think the idea of the Avos foreshadowing what happens to the Jews in the future is not just Hashkacha, the idea that the Hashkacha is parallel, but it's also an idea that the decisions the Avos made had an impact on the psyche of the nation in the future. And even something as slight as Avram going down and being afraid of the Mitzrayim had an effect on the ability of the Jews to accept upon themselves a slave mentality and to become slaves to Paro and Mitzrayim. It had to come or be sourced in a characteristic that even existed, you know, prior to the Jews being formed in the times of Avraham and Yitzchak. So every action that the Avos do is foreshadowed in the future, meaning that their actions affect the psyche of the nation as a whole, and the way the nation relates to others, and the way the nation relates to other kingdoms. So all these ideas are not just ideas in Hashkacha, external to the people, but also in the people themselves, and how we relate to other nations. So I think that's the last point in the Ramban. So I just want to summarize this here. Basically, two points here, really. What is an Ola Tmima and this idea in the Ramban? So Ola Tmima, we had three different approaches. We had the approach of Rashi, that Ola Tmima is the concept that there's a philosophical insight that Yitzchak gained through the Akedah experience, and it demanded that he not be exposed to an external environment that might be harmful. So Chutz La'aretz, or the idea of Shivcha, which is being surrounded by someone who may have an Avodah Zarah perspective, an outside perspective, those were negatives vis-a-vis the concepts that he gained at the Akedah. So he had to be aware of that, of the importance of this concept that he gained, this philosophical insight, and he had to safeguard it. And the way to safeguard it is by avoiding situations, environments that were harmful. The second idea is the Rambam. The Rambam is saying that it's for other people, that Yitzchak had to identify himself to others as the Ne'akad, and he couldn't remove himself from this identity. And any action that others might perceive as him divorcing himself, separating himself from being Ne'akad would be negative. He always had to be identified as the Ne'akad, because that was the idea of teaching the world about Yiras Hashem and Avas Hashem. And through the Akedah, that's how it occurred. So Yitzchak had to constantly be associated with the Akedah. And the last idea is Rabbeinu Bachya, saying that Yitzchak had a singular purpose. He was designated from youth for this purpose of Ola Tmima, of being Lavodas Hashem. And he couldn't do anything that was external to that wasn't necessary for this goal, for this purpose. And the last idea is the Ramban. The Ramban's idea is highlighting that the decisions that the Avos make, Yitzchak and Avram, are decisions that impact the nation in the future. Not just parallels in the Hashkacha, but also the characteristics that existed within Yitzchak and Avraham, they persisted onwards beyond their lives into the character of the nation as a whole. So that's what the Ramban means, that Avraham was criticized when he went down to Mitzrayim. I think that he's alluding to the idea that Avraham was demonstrating, even in the slightest sense, a slave mentality. And that characteristic was something that led the Jews and that allowed the Jews to be enslaved by the Mitzrayim. So I think that's the last idea. All right. So everyone have a good Shabbos. Thanks for calling in. Any questions on the Shir?